ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते नारसिंहाय नमस्ते जस्ते जस्ते आवि आवि बाव वज्रनक वज्रंग सकर्मा सयान रंदाय रंदाय तमो ग्रस ग्रस ओम स्वाहा अभयम अभयम आत्मनि भूष्ट ओम क्षाम चैप्टर 10 दिस चैप्टर इज कॉल्ड महाराज राहुगना meets Jad Bharat. And this morning's verse on the board is text number 18. So please repeat this after me, line by line.
Tan bruhi asango jadavani gudha Vijnana viryo vicharasi aparha Vachangsi yoga gratitani sadho Na na kshamante manasapi bhetum Tad bruhi asango jadavan niguda Vijnana viryo vicharasi aparaha Vachangshi yoga gratitani sadho Na na kshamante manasapi bhetum Tan bruhi asango jadavani gudda Vijnana viryo vicharasya paraha Vachangshi yoga gratitani sadho Nanakshamante manasapi betum Vijnana viryo vicharasya para Vachangsi yoga gratitani sadho Nakshamante manasapi betum Bruya sango jadavani guda Vijnana viryo vicharasya para Vachangsi yoga gratitani sadho Nanakshamante manasapi betum Tat Therefore Bruhi and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear sir, it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge is hidden. Factually, you are bereft of all material association and fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced in spiritual knowledge. Please tell me why you are wandering around like a dullard. O great saintly person, you have spoken words approved by the yogic process, but it is not possible for us to understand what you have said. Therefore, kindly explain it. Report. Saintly people like Jad Bharat do not speak ordinary words. Whatever they say is approved by great yogis and those advanced in spiritual life. That is the difference between ordinary people and saintly people. The listener must also be advanced to understand the words of such exalted, spiritually advanced people as Jad Bharat. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, not to others. Lord Krishna especially selected Arjuna for instruction in spiritual knowledge because Arjuna happened to be a great devotee and confidential friend. Similarly, great personalities also speak to the advanced, not to Shudras, Vaishyas, women, or unintelligent men. Sometimes it is very risky to give great philosophical instructions to ordinary people. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the benefit of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, has given us a very nice instrument, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The general mass of people, although Shudras and less, can be purified by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lessons of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people like Stri, Shudra, and Dvijja Bandhu cannot understand words of spiritual advancement. Yet, one can take to the shelter of a Vaishnava, for he knows the art of enlightening even Shudras in the highly elevated subject matter spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the verse again reads, Tad bruhi asango jadavan niguda vijnana viryo vicharasi apara vajangsi yoga krutitani sadho nanakh kshamante manasapi betum. Which means, and you can repeat this,
My dear sir,
it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge
is hidden.
Factually,
you are bereft
of all material association
and fully absorbed in the thought
of the Supreme.
Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced
in spiritual knowledge.
Please tell me why
you are wandering around like a dullard.
O great saintly person,
you have spoken words
approved by the yogic process,
but it is not possible for us
to understand what you have said.
Therefore, kindly explain it.
Ukam kroti bachalam bangam langayate gurim yat kripa daram bande shri guru nina tadanam.
So Maharaj Prahugana addresses Jad Bharat as asanga. That you are having no association with the material world. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this very clearly, that material association refers to Shudra, Vaishya, women, unintelligent men. So a very great transcendentalist like Jad Bharat, he does not associate with these common people. Why is that? Because they are unable to understand what he has to say. And apart from spiritual instruction, this Vachangsi Yoga Gratitani, very nice phrase. The words that come from the mouth of a personality like Jad Bharat or Yoga Gratitani, they contain the essence of all instructions on yoga. So Srila Prabhupada, yes, he says, bearing the complete meaning of mystic yoga. So yoga is, of course, the profound spiritual science. One who is able to understand the message of yoga and put it into practice cannot be an ordinary person. So this is all Jad Bharat has to say. Otherwise, as described here, he is Jadavan. Means he's appearing like a dullard. He's not speaking. He's not even noticing what's going on around him.
The common people think he's a madman. They think he's a fool. And he's very content to go through life like that. Everyone misunderstanding his real position. I think he's just an ignorant fool, like sometimes, I'm sure, here in Norway too. I've seen in villages, in different places in Europe, you go to some small village and there'll be the village, what they call the village idiot. Sometimes you see him in the marketplace. Immediately you can understand this person is very foolish, just by the way he walks and the way he talks. So everybody knows he's the village idiot, our dear Hans, or whatever his name may be. So no one takes him seriously. So Jad Bharat was appearing in society like that. So he's a sangha. He's purposefully acting that way so that people will just disregard him, ignore him, consider him, he's unimportant. Now, why is that a highly advanced personality does not want to mix, and especially does not want to speak to those who are less intelligent? So that's because that what he has to say will simply be lost on these people and even misused by them. Spiritual life, spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is very often compared to fire. You'll find in Bhagavad Gita many statements by Lord Krishna in which he compares spiritual knowledge to a fire, also in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you know that fire is very useful. We use fire for cooking. We also use fire for consuming garbage, trash which is unwanted in the house. So these two purposes are there in fire, that it can be used to nourish us and also warm us, warm the house, keep the house warm, cook the food. In this way we become nourished and gain strength. And also for things that are unwanted, useless, trash, garbage, it consumes that, burns it up. So similarly, spiritual knowledge, it nourishes the soul, makes one powerful. Here we find the word vijnana virya. Very nice. Vijnana is actually referring to spiritual knowledge. And virya means strength. We have an English word, virile. When it is said a man is virile, it means he's very masculine, very powerful. Arnold Schwarzenegger, like that. So so vira means very strong. So one becomes spiritually strong through this vijnana, through understanding transcendental knowledge. And also, if there are impurities in the heart, then that is destroyed. And Krishna explains this very nicely to Arjuna in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the fire of spiritual knowledge burns up all impurities in the heart, just like fire, an ordinary fire, burns up firewood. So in this way, a man becomes free of all sinful reaction, all karma. So these two aspects are there. Now, but fire, when it falls in the hands of a fool, is very dangerous, just like a foolish child. You see, what does mother do if she sees her little child, 4 or 5 years old, with a box of matches running through the house? Immediately she will take that away because she knows the child is foolish. The child will run through the house striking matches, throwing them here and there, and the whole house will burn down. There's one story of
of a yogi who was fire worshiper in the mystic yoga system. For those who are not very, very advanced, who have not crossed over attachment to material elements, then they are actually advised to, in this mystic yoga system, they actually may be advised to meditate on some material element like fire. And there are yogis in India who still do this. Their sadhana is to just keep a fire burning all the time. They may sit in a cave or somewhere like that, quiet place, and they have a fire going in front of them all the time. And they meditate on the fire. They just look into the fire. They chant mantras to the fire, make offerings in the fire. And then this is their sadhana, and then that ash from the fire, it's considered sacred, considered holy. And people will come. And of course, this is not, what I'm describing is not really transcendental. It's not really spiritual. But it is a higher level of material science. So people will come and they will beg that ash from the yogi. He gives it as vibhuti, as his blessing. And it's understood if one has sickness or something like that, one can take the ash and it gets cured. It has potency. So there was such a yogi who was keeping a fire always burning. And it so happened that a young boy came into his care. This boy was from some uprooted people. Some people had, their village had been devastated by some famine, catastrophe. So they were just wandering through the land. And they camped nearby where this yogi was staying. And when they left, somehow or other, they forgot this one boy. So the boy was helpless, crying. And so the yogi took him in. And the yogi thought, well, I can raise you. I can act as your father or your teacher. So he gave the boy shelter. And of course, but what the yogi will teach, he just looks in the fire all day. So anyway, the boy stayed with that yogi, but he didn't learn very much. He just, all he knew about life is that you stare at a fire. So this yogi had to leave for a few days, because sometimes there are melas, these festivals, when saintly persons, yogis, sadhus, they come out of the hills, they come out of their caves, out of the jungle, wherever they're hiding themselves, and they gather in some holy place, like at Prayag. In northern India, there is this city, Prayag, also known today as Allahabad. And there is Triveni, confluence of three rivers. Of course, you only see two of them, Ganges and Jamuna. They flow together. But it is said that the Saraswati is flowing up from underneath the earth at the same point. So it's Triveni, where three rivers flow together. That's a very, very holy place. It is said that nectar of the demigods, Amrit, dropped there. And so anyone who takes bath at that confluence under a particular constellation is assured liberation. So to take advantage of that, the sadhus and yogis and so on, this is the one mela called Kumbha Mela. So every 12 years or so, they come there for taking bath. So this yogi also, he had to attend some mela somewhere. So he left and he told the boy, so you tend this fire, don't let it go out, because that's the regulative principle. But the boy hadn't learned anything, you know. He So he sat down in front of the fire, and after some time, the fire went out. Now the yogi had left him. The yogi had said, look, I give you all the tools that you need to keep this fire going. He'd given him a pile of firewood. He'd given him also what is known as a fire drill. In the old days, they didn't have matches or butane lighter.
you wanted to make fire, then there would be a block of wood with a hole drilled into it, and another piece of wood, rounded wood, which was stuck in that hole, and some two strings attached, and you had to rotate this pole of wood, the stick of wood. It was rotating within the hole of the block of wood, and this friction would create fire. But of course, it's a lot of work. So, and then when there's a little heat, you put some dry leaf or something there, get it burning, and then you put that dry leaf and some other leaves and sticks, and then gradually you have fire. So he left him such a fire drill, and he left him a hatchet, where if necessary he could chop up the wood for kindling. So the boy had all this. All this was given to him by the yogi. But he didn't know how to use it, because he was a foolish boy. He hadn't been taking lessons from the yogi, how to make fire. He'd just been watching the yogi look into the fire. That's all he knew how to do, just stare at the fire. So the boy stared at the fire, and gradually the fire went out. And then the boy thought, oh, what to do? The yogi said, I should keep this fire burning. And he said, if the fire did go out, then I have these things here to make a new fire. So he picked up the hatchet, and he thought, so I have to make fire with this and this. And he took the fire drill, and then he started to chop the fire drill with the hatchet. Chop, chop. And he chopped it to pieces. No fire came out. Then he took the sticks and he started to chop them. Chop, chop, chop. No fire came out. So after some days, the yogi came back to his cave, and he saw the fireplace had grown cold and black. There had been no fire for burning for many days. And he was very unhappy to see that. And then he saw his foolish adopted son sitting there with a hatchet in one hand. And all around, there were so many little pieces of wood. All of the firewood, the fire drill, everything he had just chopped into tiny pieces, hardly bigger than matchsticks. And that way he'd spent his time alone. So this little story illustrates exactly why a wise man, one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge, should not associate not have too much to do with foolish persons. Because his only business is spiritual life. Huh? It's like that yogi. This is, again, a kind of material analogy, because it's not really spiritual life. But all he was doing was staring into the fire. That's the only thing he had to show. So this boy was, a young boy. What interest does he have in that? You see, if you know young boys, you see, if a young boy sees someone who's 24 hours a day staring into a fire, he'll not be very much inclined to absorb that, to learn how to do that very carefully, to see the value in it. So this boy had not learned that, and when he was told you must keep this fire going, he didn't know how to do it. So foolishly, he just chopped everything to matchsticks. So, yes. Therefore, because the majority of people today are foolish like children and cannot absorb directly the eternal message of Godhead, this vijnana, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, as it is called in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. They're unable to directly, most people, directly absorb, have interest in this and absorb it. Because their minds are distracted, their senses are not under control. So, therefore, they need They actually need some, yes, engagement for the senses. And they may even need some sense gratification. So this is an art. Those Vaishnavas who are very, very compassionate, who want to do good for the fallen conditioned souls, they know this art. It is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna naveshati. Somehow or other, get them to think about Krishna. Get them to fix their minds on Krishna. And if it means, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he told a little story to illustrate how this may have to be done. If it means we have to feed them balam rice and cow's ghee. This is from that story, that there was a wealthy man, landowner, who had a very difficult time keeping servants at his house. The reason was is that he was a very strict taskmaster, or task maker, you say. He was always giving them so much work to do. He did not like to see them lying idle. So the servants, they would come into his employ, but they would feel themselves to be very much harassed after a few days because he was always going after them, seeing if they're not doing anything, then he would give them, now, do this, do this. And they would just feel themselves harassed. And so after just a few days, they would leave. So he was always having to find a new servant, and then that servant would leave after a few days. So he found it very difficult to keep his household in proper order because of a lack of servants. So one day he was with a friend and he was lamenting, "I have so much trouble keeping my servants." And then the friend said, "I tell you what you do. The next servant you hire, for 6 months, don't push him too hard. Give him a minimum amount of work. And for that 6 months period, you feed him balam rice and cow's ghee." Now, balam rice is a very, just like basmati rice, it's a very, very fine kind of rice, which ordinary people don't get. And cow's ghee is also something that in India is considered very, very special. If one is eating cow's ghee every day, then this is extremely opulent. And the servant class of men, they never see such food. Hardly ever. They're eating third-class rice and dal. This is what you see in northern India and Bengal especially. I've actually seen that this low class of man there, they actually have no taste for opulent prasadam. It's something to them very strange. There's a hair cutter who comes every day to Mayapur for cutting the devotee's hair. And in the weekends, he'll go to the Gurukula. So he gets invited to the Gurukul Prasad while he's there, Gurukul Prasad Hall. But he'll only accept rice and dal. All the sabjis, the sweet rice, he... This is just, you know, he's not familiar with these preparations. I have seen this. I've seen this also in Nepal too. Those persons, they're known as Sherpas. If you go up into the mountains, there's a place of pilgrimage, Muktinath, where there's a deity of Vishnu. So I went up there once. It's about 8,000 meters above sea level, something like that, high up in the Himalayas. So if you have luggage, you usually have to, unless you're with a good party of devotees, you usually have to hire these, what are known as Sherpas, these bearers. And they too, the only thing they eat is rice and dal. Anything else for them is just not even, it's just not food. It's all they can eat. Every day, it's amazing. 3 days, or 3 times a day, every day of the week. That's all they eat. Rice and dal. So anyway, Balam rice is very fine rice, and cooked in cow's ghee, very, very exceptional. So this man said, so you feed them like that, and then only after 6 months, then you can start to get on their case and make them work as you want them to work. So this gentleman, landowner, he said, very good, I'll try this. So his next servant, he did just that. So after 6 months, then he began to follow him around, and whenever he saw him standing idle, hey, you, come here, do this. You see? And so that not a minute was wasted. And so again, this servant, he began to feel himself very harassed. And he was complaining and groaning to the other servants. And then finally he thought, well, I'm not going to take this anymore. So he told the landowner, I'm leaving. I'm going to get a job somewhere else. So he left. And then he was going around to a few other places and trying to work there. But they were just serving the old, you see, food that he used to get before. Just plain third-class rice and some dal, no ghee. And he found he couldn't eat this anymore. You know, just like you can consider. Can consider yourselves. You see? What if one day that rule was made in the temple? Now, from this day on, the only prasadam will be rice and dal. That's it. Don't expect anything else. So after some days, we would be calling up some other temples. So, do you need a sankirtan, extra sankirtan man? Do you need a cook? So this person, he could not live without balam rice and cow's ghee. So he was forced, after 1-2 days, he came back to the master and took up his job again. Then even again, it got too much and he left. But again, he had to come back. Finally, he just had to surrender. I can't go anywhere. I have to stay and do this service. So then the master, he had a steady servant. So when the master saw his friend again, who gave him that advice, when he greeted him by saying, all glories to Balam Rice and Cow's Ghee. So this is also there in Krishna consciousness. Also, the Vaishnavas who want to uplift the fallen souls, these ordinary persons, Stri Sudra Dvija Bandhu, who cannot understand, cannot receive the direct, straightforward Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, because their mind and senses are too disturbed. Then these merciful Vaishnava spiritual masters, they make some arrangement by which to purify these persons, give them some engagement by which their consciousness can be uplifted, so that later on, gradually, they can understand. So now the primary method Prabhupada explains, that is the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Sankirtan, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra throughout society, getting everyone somehow or other to hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And along with that, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there is Bhagavat Prasadam, very delicious balam rice and cow's ghee offered to Krishna. So this is a very powerful combination, isn't it? These two things. This is the method by which Krishna consciousness spreads through society, by which very, very fallen conditioned souls. Just consider our own background. Still we have become attached to this chanting, and the clouds of ignorance have cleared, and we are able to hear this very deep Bhagavat philosophy. So, This is Vaishnava, that he accepts responsibility for the upliftment of all the conditioned souls. Hmm? Just like today is Ram Navami, so Sri Ramchandra, he is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an ideal king. So he was king not only of human beings, but as we know from Ramayana, he was also the lord of monkeys and bears. He gave them shelter, all living entities. So Ram Raja, this Ram Raja, the kingdom of Ram, is very much idealized in India. That society should be so nicely managed that all living entities find shelter and happiness. No one is oppressed. No one is an outcast. Everyone has shelter. Everyone has engagement. Everyone can find happiness. And ultimately, everyone can return home back to Godhead. So this is Ram Rajya. Very much idealized. This is the example shown by the Lord Himself. When the Lord comes to this world, He's not just a one-man show, you see, just displaying His own glories and the message being that, how are you unfortunate people, don't you wish you could be like me? I'm so great, you're so foolish, you see. You're so unfortunate. Well, anyway, goodbye. No, but actually the Lord, He displays His unparalleled pastimes, but He's inviting everyone to enter into them. He's giving everyone a place. You come on, take part. This is His magnanimity. And so the servants of the Lord, the Vaishnavas, similarly, they are eager to encourage, to push, to trick even the conditioned souls. Because Krishna, because one of the Lord's qualities is also humility. So He makes Himself, He makes His pastimes visible to the conditioned souls. And He invites everyone. But then He leaves it up to them. Because He's also humble. He's thinking, well, if they don't want, then anyway. But His devotees, His dear associates, the Vaishnavas, they think, what, they don't want? Huh, they're so foolish. Then we'll go trick them. By hook or by crook, we'll get them to take Krishna's mercy. The Vaishnavas become very impatient if they see anyone who is trying to avoid to surrender to the Lord. So again, even if it takes balam rice and ghee, the Vaishnavas will serve that just to develop some attachment to association with the Lord and His devotees. Actually, in this age. Present age, everyone is so unqualified. That is, it said, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. It is like an ocean of faults, this age. So it is very rare, practically, you can say next to impossible, that you will find anybody in human society who can take to Krishna consciousness in a completely straightforward, unmotivated manner. Very, very rare. Very, very rare that you'll find someone who just immediately has the taste for hearing and chanting and can become firmly situated in devotional service simply on the strength of hearing and chanting. So, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. It is an ocean of faults. And we also have our faults. faults are everywhere. Huh? You'll see everyone in this world today, they're addicted to very low and nasty sensual pleasures. And we ourselves, if we look in our hearts, we will find so many dirty things. Now the thing is that you don't really get any credit by pointing that out. Okay? By complaining that, well, it's so hard to preach because everyone's such a fool, everyone's so fallen. By complaining that, and I myself am so fallen, I have no taste for devotional service. I'm very unsteady. My mind very quickly gets deviated. In an instant, I can be completely in Maya. But we don't get any credit by by pointing this out. It's a fact, all right. It's a fact, but yes, there's only one credit. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hieka mahagunan. There is one good thing in this age. Kirtanya Deva Krishnasya. And that's the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So there's no point in reviewing all of our faults and all the faults of this Kali Yuga. You see, summing it all up, analyzing it very carefully, and coming to the conclusion that it's all hopeless. That actually is the trend in modern society today among people who are so-called intellectuals, thinkers, philosophers of any sort. They talk about life and then their conclusion is that it's all hopeless. They're existentialists or whatever they're known, beatniks, punks. This punk class is just the new new version of a beatnik, hippie, completely frustrated person. As the punks say, no future. There's just no future in life. And so then they make a movement and they dress up in some certain way and they're very proud, you see. We have understood there's no future, but there's no credit for this. The credit comes if in spite of that fact, that this is an age full of faults, still we take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So, and the Krishna consciousness movement is appearing in this fallen age only by the direct mercy of Krishna. Actually, it is stated, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtana. So, in this Kali Yuga, the only dharma, the only true religion or genuine spiritual activity is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So if we see that, then Krishna Shakti Vini Nahi Tara Pavartana. You can be sure that it has appeared in this world only by Krishna Shakti, only by Krishna's own potency. And anyone whom you see who is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that person, he is endowed with Krishna's potency. And if he is able to spread Krishna consciousness throughout society, get others to chant, then he is very, very powerful. He's especially endowed. So, the Krishna consciousness movement has been introduced by Krishna himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the genuine followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this disciplic succession have spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout India, and Srila Prabhupada spread it throughout the world. So, this is Krishna Shakti, Krishna's own potency. So, our responsibility or our only duty as human beings in this age is to avail ourselves to this Krishna Shakti. As mentioned, there is no good in just sitting around and moaning and groaning and lamenting how bad everything is, how useless life is. That is Shudra. That is explained here in the purport. That the Krishna consciousness is not meant for Shudra. Shudra cannot take it. What does Shudra mean? One who always laments. You see? One who's always is just morose, downtrodden, sees everything as hopeless. Well, he can't take to Krishna consciousness. Vijnana Virya. One who has received Krishna consciousness, one who has taken this Vijnana, this transcendental knowledge, then he becomes strong. Virya. So, one who's morose, downtrodden, that means he's unable to understand eternity. Because to become strong simply means to realize that I am eternal. But whatever happens to this body does not affect me. One who is situated in that understanding, then he can engage this body 100% with full enthusiasm in spreading the Sankirtan movement. But someone who is still on the bodily platform, who has not properly understood his true identity, then he's subjected by sensual agitations, he's pulled around by his tongue, belly, genital, and he becomes very depressed as a result of this. Very unhappy. And he sees no hope in life. He doesn't know how to improve his situation. He's very, very unfortunate. Shudra, always lamenting. You see, when there is a meeting of devotees, now let us enthusiastically go forward and spread this Krishna consciousness movement everywhere. The Shudra, person with Shudra mentality, he will be saying, oh, it won't work. We tried this before and it didn't work. And, you know, there's no hope. And we shouldn't get too enthusiastic. See, if we get too enthusiastic, then we will become fanatical and we'll all fall down. And so on, so on. He'll talk like this on and on. So, so what to do? Because this is a bit of a quandary, because everyone in this age is like that. So the Krishna consciousness movement has appeared here in this time only because of the direct intercession of Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya. This movement is spreading only by his direct potency. So how do we take full advantage of it, those of us who are of this Shudra background, Shudra quality? So, yes, well, if need be, you take balam rice and ghee for some time. That allowance is also there. For instance, one who's too much addicted to sense gratification, then one he may take grihastha ashram. He may enjoy life and chant Hare Krishna at the same time. Enjoy the suffering. Until he realizes that it is only suffering. And then he can fix himself upon the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. But there is a better way than that. That's the last resort. The better way is, it's expressed here in this verse, Vachangsi yoga gratitani sadho nanakshamate manasapi betum. That you are speaking something which is full of very deep meaning. This science of yoga is being revealed by you, but I cannot understand it. Manasapi, not nakshamante manasapi. With this mind, I cannot understand. Now, this is the point here, that for one who's too much absorbed in sense gratification, then the mind is very distracted. The mind is full of impurity. And that is why the straightforward, simple message of Krishna consciousness, it's very, very difficult to understand. So, Maharaj Rahugana is requesting, you please explain further. Give me your association. Tad bruhi. Therefore, please speak. So, for the most intelligent, the really intelligent class of men, those who are sense controlled, they can understand Krishna consciousness practically in the form of codes, sutra, like Vedanta Sutra. These are codes. So, Krishna consciousness can be explained to them in very concise few words. But for most people, or just like Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is also sutra. It is said that the entire meaning of the Vedas is compressed in these 16 syllables. So, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra spreads through society. It purifies those who hear and chant. But in order for most people to become firmly situated in Krishna consciousness, after they have become a little purified by the hearing and chanting, then they have to associate further with devotees and hear further explanation so that they can properly understand the full meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and chant it free from offense, and then realize the identity of the Lord's holy name with the Lord Himself. So, only a very rare person will immediately take up devotional service 100% with full enthusiasm upon hearing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra one time, two times. You see, we don't meet too many such persons. They were sitting at home and listening to the radio or something, and then Hare Krishna Mantra was played, that Radha Krishna Temple version by George Harrison, perhaps. It was produced by George Harrison, but sung by the devotees. They hear this Hare Krishna. And then suddenly, yes, now I must dedicate my life to Krishna. And then immediately on the spot, they're extracting so much of vijnana, realized knowledge from this mantra. They're setting up an altar in their home and starting puja, giving Bhagavad Gita class, all this knowledge being drawn right out of the Hare Krishna mantra. That would be a very rare soul. Generally what happens is that we're attracted. If one has some piety, some spiritual piety, then he's attracted to the mantra. But he needs further association and further instruction in order to establish himself in the sadhana of the holy name. And then he has to practice this sadhana of the holy name in association for a long time before he starts to realize that abhinadvan nama namino, that the name and the named, the name of the Lord and the Lord himself are abhina, not different. So, Maharaj Rahugana is addressing Jad Bharat, that you have spoken something to me, and I can understand it is very deep, very full of spiritual knowledge. But with this mind I have, I cannot grasp it. So please, Tad Bruhi, speak more. Please associate with me and give me more instruction. Yes, so this is even better than balam rice and ghee. Of course, we may still need balam rice and ghee, but while taking that, we should associate with advanced devotees of the Lord. And in this way, by their instruction, the process of Krishna consciousness will be speeded along very much. So, satam prasanga mama virya samvidho bhavanti hritkarna rasanayana katha. It's a very nice verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains this point so elaborately and clearly, that satam prasanga, by associating with very advanced saintly personalities, mama virya samvido. Now again we hear this word virya. Krishna is saying that in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, then the topics of my powerful activities, mama virya, my powerful glories. So here, vijnana virya, this term, the power of realization of Krishna consciousness, or power of transcendental knowledge. So that also means knowledge of Krishna's pastimes, which are virya, themselves virya. Very, very powerful. So in the association of devotees of the Lord, then these topics of Krishna's powerful activities, which give power, give spiritual power to the conditioned soul, they become very attractive. Bhavanti hrit karna rasanayana kata. Hrit means heart, karna means ear. So these topics become very attractive to our ear and to our heart in that association. Otherwise, if we don't have that association, it seems very distant and mysterious. You see? If we're not in the association of devotees, we may hear something about Krishna, or we may hear the Hare Krishna mantra, but it sounds very distant from us, very esoteric, or just very foreign and strange, and we can't relate to it. Not really attractive. Although it is all attractive. But why are we not attracted? Because manasapi, because of this mind, the condition of our mind. So place yourself in the association of devotees and hear from them, and then this vijnana virya will become very attractive to the heart and mind. And then by this practice, one has to practice it. Tajjoshanat, asuv. One has to practice this in that association. And in this way, apavargavartmani. Tajjoshanat asuv apavargavartmani. By this practice, one will walk the path of apavarga. Apavarga means liberation. One will become free of all these persistent attachments to sense gratification, which plague us and make us depressed, make us think that it's hopeless. You see? There's no hope for me. I can't ever become Krishna conscious. No. Then, Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishyati. The conclusion is, in this way, step by step, one develops faith, Shraddha, then attraction, positive attraction to Krishna consciousness, and finally bhakti. Then finally one becomes established in bhakti yoga, step by step. So all of this comes as a natural sequence for those who can get the association of great souls and can remain in that association, hearing from these great souls and practice Krishna consciousness steadily. So this we have to aspire for. Whether or not we need balam rice and ghee to do this, that we will have to see according to the individual. That is also possible. That provision is also there. If you require, take balam rice and ghee. But the main thing, just like this story illustrates, the main thing is to become situated in the service. And that's the main point. All right, I will stop here. And any questions? Yes? Yeah, they may misuse. Because they cannot understand. They are not able to receive this knowledge on the level that a personality like Jad Bharat imparts it. Because he's very, very advanced. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, as I went on to explain, the Vaishnavas are merciful. So they see the absolute necessity, they see the great need of uplifting these fallen conditioned souls so that they can understand. But the point is, in their present condition, they cannot understand. So, therefore, Jad Bharat, he was simply moving through the world as a jadavan, as a dull, senseless person, so as not to be bothered by these foolish people who could not understand the message that he had to impart. But when he met Maharaj Rahugana, and Maharaj Rahugana was more intelligent, Maharaj Rahugana could actually see that this person, as described in this verse, he's unlimitedly advanced in Krishna consciousness. He could see that. So, now, in those days, the days of this this event, of the meeting of Maharaj Rahugana and Jad Bharat, the system of society was government was Varnashram Dharma. So that meant that it was the king's business. It's the king's business to uplift the fools, the dull populace. They come under his charge. It was not the business of the saintly persons to do that. Rather, the saintly persons worked through the kings. So Jad Bharat, in this way, he was observing the Varnashram system, that he was keeping withdrawn from the common human society. But when he met this Maharaj Rahugana, and he could see that Maharaj Rahugana is perceptive, he can see the true value of what I have to give. So then we will see how Jad Bharat will instruct Maharaj Rahugana, and Maharaj Rahugana in turn will then propagate through the Varnashram Dharma system. He will propagate these teachings throughout human society, establish them. This is how it worked. When a king became inspired by a saintly person, then he would utilize his position, his government, to spread this inspiration everywhere. So in this way, Maharaj Jad Bharat actually, then he would benefit the whole human society. Anything else? Yes? No, but kirtan. You see, this is the Sankirtan movement. So kirtan means to glorify the Lord. So Hare Krishna mantra, that is very essential. By essential, I mean very compact, compressed. It is the essence of Krishna Kirtan, of glorification of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada says the Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna Kirtan. It is Krishna's own Kirtan. In this book I've been reading, Renunciation Through Wisdom, I just read that yesterday. Not in the class, but afterwards. Where Prabhupada says the Bhagavad Gita qualifies as Krishna Kirtan because it is Krishna's own Kirtan. Krishna is glorifying himself in Bhagavad Gita. So, distributing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also Sankirtan. Sang means group, the communal group of human beings, collective society. So Sankirtan means that kirtan is spread throughout society. So if it is done through Harinam Sankirtan when we go out in the street, or if it is done by distributing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam to the people on the street, it is the same. Sankirtan, it is collective glorification of the Supreme Lord. Same thing in different form. Just like medicine can come in liquid form or powder form or pill form or injection form. It was the same medicine.
So therefore it is to be expected that it often stops.
No. No, but Srila Prabhupada has done a great miracle by presenting this philosophy in a way that they can understand. Maybe not everyone. And Prabhupada himself would say that. Not everyone can understand these books. Prabhupada would always compare Krishna consciousness to diamonds. If you go to the marketplace with diamonds, don't expect to have many customers, Prabhupada would say, because most people cannot afford to buy diamonds. So, but anyway, somehow or other, by good fortune, by past qualification, you do meet people out there who take Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada said, even if they just read the first page, or even if they just read one word, then, or even if they just hold the book in their hand, any contact with Prabhupada's books, that is the beginning of their spiritual life. They're linked with Krishna eternally, just by having seen Prabhupada's books. It's the same with Hare Krishna mantra. You know, when we go out and we chant Hare Krishna mantra, is it because it's the Hare Krishna mantra, is it really any easier for them to understand what we're doing? than just giving them a book, you see? We chant Hare Krishna, do we see that people are, you know, dropping their shopping bags and starting to chant also? They also think, what is this? What are they doing? What does that mean? They don't understand. But regardless, because that is manasa api, that is because of the mind. Their minds are so contaminated, they cannot understand. But regardless, they are directly contacting Krishna through the medium of His holy name or through the medium of His books. And that mamavirya samvido, that connection is full of all power. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada Gita.